If you have, there's some others over here if you need one. There's some on the table around us here. I was thinking of different individuals in the Word of God that had a relationship with God, and they, as they were going along in life, they had temptation that faced them, and they kind of got off the beaten path. And one of those individuals was David. And we know David from a lot of special occurrences that happened in his life. As a teen, he was strong against Goliath, and we know that story pretty well. We know his kingship and different things that he had in mind, but we also know some of his failures that he went through in his life, and some of them were pretty dramatic and so-called big sins, you know, of murder, of adultery, and different things. We often are faced with consequences from our choices that we make, and sometimes they get the best of us. You know, we go through periods of time, periods away from maybe that intimacy that we would have with Christ, and we would wander down the road seeking to find some respite for those situations. I was thinking of a passage of scripture, and I put it in your outline tonight, from John, the 14th chapter, and it was one of those verses of scripture that have been encouraging to me, because Jesus spoke those words on the last night in which he was alive. But he wanted to tell his disciples and encourage them in relationships. That relationship was all important. And as we read through the John chapter 14, we come to verse 23, and it says, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home in them." And I was thinking of that relationship, that as we love Jesus and we keep his word in our life and we're steadfast in our relationship, God says that he will love on us, and it says we will come. And so the Father and the Son will come and make their home within our lives. And what encouragement that is for us, that not only we have that relationship with God, but that God wants to dwell within us and make that dwelling place within our hearts. So that encouragement of a relationship with him, of steadfastness, is that we aren't just living aimlessly by ourselves, but that the Lord is with us. Tonight I wanted us to look at Psalm 51 as the main text for our discussion and our dialogue with God tonight, and think of how David responded in his life to sin. For some background on what took place, I wanted us to look at, first of all, to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And this is a familiar verse of scripture, because it's a confrontation that a person of God, a prophet Nathan, had with David. And David knew of David's sin. And sometimes we can go through life, you know, without anybody coming along to correct us. You know, we can maybe make bad choices and go down the road. But praise God for opportunities that other people care about in our lives enough where they would come and say, you know, to me, maybe, "Steve, what you did was kind of off kilter. You needed to make some modifications, and you need to change. You need to get back on the right track. But sometimes that doesn't happen in life, and so we get down bunny trails and separated from God. But one of the things that was intriguing to me when I was thinking about David's life was this occurrence that happened from a prophet, Nathan. And he uses a kind of a personal illustration or an everyday illustration of a parable, something that would maybe take place in the world around him, to get across a spiritual message. So if you have your Old Testaments with you, 2 Samuel chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. And he shared his food and drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. He was like a daughter to him. But a traveler came to the rich man. That rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, this man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You're that man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have appointed you over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And in all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. What have you despised the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his sight? You struck down Uriah the Hittite and by the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I'm going to bring about calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and drive them to the one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did this in secret, but I'll do this in broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan and God got the message across to David. David recognized in the midst of that confrontation that he had erred in his judgment and brought sin on his whole household. And so we find in Psalms chapter 51, Psalm 51, illustration of how David wrote about this occurrence, of how he understood what God was telling him about his sin. And then when we think about that in our walk, in our personal devotions, in our spiritual growth, you know, in our lives, we can come across the scripture and illustration, and we can hear the Holy Spirit making reference to something in our life that we would need to take care of. And sometimes we make excuses, or we go the opposite way from what the Word is trying to get across to us. And what I wanted us to think about tonight is that in the coming days, when we examine the Scripture, God, through His Holy Spirit, is going to be maybe pointing some things out in our personal walk with God, some changes, alterations, modifications that we need to make to come back to Him. Maybe it's not that, maybe we think we have control of a certain area in our life, and that area might be keeping us away from that personal relationship with Him. But I wanted us to think about that, as Nathan told David, you're that man, that maybe tonight we could think of, well, maybe we are like David. Maybe we have not physically murdered someone, but maybe we have, through the words that we've said, or ways that we've belittled someone, we've taken what was not ours, but we've taken something that belonged to someone else, and we have coveted it and taken it away. So I want you to think with me as we read through this psalm of our need for Jesus to wash us and to make us clean. As we kick off the Lent season, we find in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what was evil in your eyes, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." That awareness that David began to understand that God desired truthfulness within him to face those issues that he was facing and to be an overcomer. The first point in your outline, I put down the confession of David. We see the psalmist sharing with us how he confessed and acknowledged his sin before God. In Genesis 3:12, we find that was not the case. That Adam, when confronted with you sinned, he was blaming someone else in his life. And we find sometimes that happens in our life when we deny our own responsibility for something that has occurred in our life, and we shift blame. We find David acknowledging his that in verse 3, "For I know my transgression and my sin is before me." And then in verse 5, "I was brought forth in iniquity." You know, we're all born with a want to sin. And sin separates us from a relationship with God. The consequences, the reward of sin is death and separation from God. And we see even in this psalm that David penned, that illustration of sin separation. We find also in verse 4 an acknowledgement of how that can not only be to David a sin against Uriah and Bathsheba, but we find it was a much larger sin. It was a sin against God. And David was writing here, "Against you, you only have I sinned." David appeals to God's grace, as we find in the first couple verses of that psalm. "Lord, have mercy upon me, according to your love, according to that which you seek to have for me. And that's something kind of, we find it many places in the Bible, that when people recognized their positional relationship with God, it was maybe a cry out from their lives of wanting to have mercy. Remember the story of the blind men and Bartimaeus, and he heard Jesus was near. Lord, have mercy on me. And we find how even the rich man in Luke was seeking, needing relief and help in that way. We can call out to God for help in our time of distress and need. And we need to, in life, appeal to God for that, not trying to fix it in our own ways, but to seek His help. We find David was appealing to God's grace for a new start in his life. He wanted, in verse 1 there, that according to God's abundant mercy, that God would blot out his transgressions. That word blot has the literal meaning of to cover up, to deal with. So he wouldn't even have to deal with it anymore. He wanted a blotter just to erase it from view, or to make it impossible for it to be known. Sometimes when we've gone through things, we've had circumstances or things that we remember, don't we? And maybe you're like David, that you wish God could remove something, you know, to distance it from you, because those memories of the past or fears or anxieties keep you from drawing close to Him. We find David saying, blot out my transgressions, remove them, Lord. And as believers, as we've developed our relationship with God, we know that freedom we have with God, and that awareness that we know of His being. If you are not in that personal relationship with Christ, know tonight that Christ can help bring that cleansing and that renewal to you. We find in verse 2 how David was crying out, wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He needed a reprieve, and literally it refers to the aspect of having dirty rags, dirty clothes, and a washing, literally to wash clothes, the Hebrew words refer to that, asking for that new start and that reprieve from God. So when we see how ugly that sin that sometimes besets us is in the eyes of God, we realize that there are changes, and that need to be made. And until we do that, we become just comfortable with our manner of living in the world and having an occasional time with God, and we're divided. And what God wants to encourage us tonight to do is to realize that confession of our sin and is the step for growth and the step for being all that God wants us to be. Another part of Psalm 51 I want you to circle and for you to draw from is there in verses 13 through 15. And I'll read those as you read them there in your outline. Then I'll teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Not only is confession of our sin and our paramount in our becoming awake to God's grace and love for us, but the second point in this outline is the commitment of David was important. David committed to change in his life, and there is a couple things that I saw as I meditated on this section of scripture. That in verse 13, he said he made a commitment to teach transgressors God's ways. And we might think of that as giving a personal testimony, you know. As you lived your life, maybe you've had an opportunity to give a personal testimony to someone, like a 5-minute testimony, like talk for a minute about who you were before you met Christ. I was away from God. I was overcome by anxiety or fear, or I was separated from God because of sin. And then you gave an opportunity to share how you came to know Christ. Do you remember how that happened in your own personal life? That you met Jesus, and like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, things changed. Suddenly you weren't craving the things as you once did of the world, and you started craving what God wanted for you in your life. You recognized his power and presence in your life. And then you, from that, you have recognized the change that has taken place in your life as you've grown to know him and to depend upon him. Well, that's what David was expressing, that he was able to teach people God's ways because he recognized it in his own life. He no longer wanted to do what his flesh was driving him to do at one time, but he wanted to separate himself out from that. And we see how it changed his heart, how he began to speak forth praise to God and exalting his name. It's interesting as we sing, look at this verse, how David began to teach others the lessons that he had learned in his life, and it became a way for him to acknowledge and to affirm God's work in his life. And sometimes when we're quiet about our relationship with God, maybe it's not necessarily a good thing for us, because we need to speak it out. We need to speak forth from our lips what God has done, because out of the work within our heart, our mouth speaks of his glory. So I was looking at that verse 15. O Lord, open our lips that our mouths will declare your praise. And we find in verse 16 and 17 about it was no longer just working at, you know, just by works that David was going to make it, but it was the brokenness within his heart, the sacrifice that God really wanted from his life was his heart to be open to God. And when you think of that in your life, you know, sometimes the happiest times in your life, the times of joy and pleasure, is in your knowing that you are at that sweet spot with God, that you know Him and He knows you, and you have that relationship built upon not just what you do, but who you are. And I wanted to encourage you that in making a commitment to God, be open about your testimony to another and to receive a response to God's mercy by declaring praise. It tells us in 2 Corinthians that chapter 5 that the love of Christ compels us into a deeper walk with Him. The third area I wanted us to look at briefly was not only is confession of sin important for us in the coming days as the Holy Spirit points out things in our walk with Him, and not only a commitment to declare His praise, but we find cleansing of David is important. Remember what Bartimaeus, we referred to this a little bit earlier, that remember what Bartimaeus said, that, "Lord, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "You know, what you needed." Well, David wants to be clean in his life. There's been times when, as a youngster, I enjoyed being dirty. You know, it's like you work outside in the garden, or you did things, you know, and it was okay to be dirty. But then I'd come into the house, my mom and dad said, "You need to take a bath. You need to get cleaned up." And I was, as I reflect on some of those things in my life, there's times that, you know, that you don't really desire to be clean. You know, you're just like, okay, I'll just physically. But we're talking about spiritual stuff here tonight. If we were to have a scanning rod, you know, a Holy Spirit scanning rod, that we'd scan our life, you know, and would there be kind of like a Geiger counter thing that it would get down and maybe when it's going by our brain, it would go like there's something that you're thinking about that doesn't line up with the Word of God, or, you know, as it got down to our hearts, maybe there's something else that would be triggering, you know, and we think of how David must have felt when he came face to face with those things in his life of his sin that he committed, and his cry out was, "Wash me, cleanse me, oh God." In verses 7-10, it says, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let my bones, you know, crush, rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." I was thinking as I was reviewing those thoughts there, I was thinking back in Exodus. Remember, Exodus, I think it was like chapter 12 or somewhere in there. Even I just read through that in our read through the Bible again this year, where God's instruction was to take hyssop and dip it in the lamb's blood and to put it on the doorpost. And it was a method of cleansing and protecting those that were within that umbrella of that God was creating to renew them and to prepare them for the coming days. We see David saying, I want that purging in my life from hyssop that I could be clean, that I could be open to him. Is there something tonight that, as you're thinking about David's response, that maybe there's something that I need to ask God to cleanse me from? Maybe it was an attitude that I had toward someone, even today, that I said something abruptly, or I should have done that I didn't do. But we see David, what David was asking God to do in his life was to remove sin. That David wanted God to draw out that sinfulness from his life. He wanted God to restore that sense of holiness in his life from the stain of sin and filth. And he wanted God to renew that spirit within him. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your spirit. That concept of being washed clean, we recognize that we're no longer contaminated from sin, but that we're, which leads to death, but we are washed clean to find God. I put down at the bottom that one of our focus points should that in the coming weeks that we would see our sin and seek its removal from our life, as God would point out a specific area, that we would cry out for the joy that he might return to us, and that we might die to ourselves and long for renewal. So as we think of our scope of our word tonight, our time in the word, we think of how we are, like David, we're that man, person of God, in need of God's help in the coming days. It may not be something as we find in our discovery through walking to Calvary that is immediately revealed to us, but something that we might find is a progression that we discover the more we walk toward the cross. I hope that we'll each be able to understand the joy that David felt in his life, that we'll get to that opportunity from Resurrection Sunday. So we pray. Father God, this path is kind of like a trailhead that we come to tonight. Thinking of our journey in the coming days, we'll probably go by some areas of review and reminisce as to some times in the past. But Lord, we thank you that you help us through those various times. Sometimes when we're still struggling in our waywardness, that our outlook is like gloom and despair and depression and everything. But Lord, that you desire for us to be beyond that, that you desire for us to recognize that the joy and the intimacy of that relationship with you. I'm thankful for those words that Jesus said, that we shared earlier, how we can know the Father's love for us, and that they will come and make their home in our lives. So Lord, we welcome you as you take the flashlight of your word and shine it into our lives. coming days and expose areas of that we need to deal with, that you'll give us your mercy and your grace. You'll overwhelm us with your love and acceptance, Lord. That you don't distance yourselves from our sin, but that you welcome us to bring our sin to you, that you might blot them out and you might change us, Lord. And help us to be willing to let go of those certain things so that we can to know you and to express our love and our praise toward you. So Lord, we thank you and for what you're going to do. We pray that the lovable Father might be set within our hearts firmly, that we will know with confidence for the fellowship that we have with the Son Jesus. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we're thankful for the joy in the Holy Spirit that we can have, that we can go forth in victory for what you've done. So bless us in the coming week, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless our time of fellowship as we share in a meal together. And thank you for the food that was being shared. And bless our fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you explain the cornbread? Can you explain about the cornbread?
Cornbread?
Different kinds of cornbread. So
there's two different kinds of cornbread.
That is blackened?
Yeah, there's one that's blackened because I forgot to check the other. And then there's little pieces of it there, but it's still jalapeno cornbread. It's a little blackened.
Oh, we need to get that
because there's one that's not so black, and then there's plain cornbread.
I think you just explained it.
Oh, I do that to you.